Book of Revelation again, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to take up in verse 14 again tonight. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. Last Wednesday night, of course, we weren't here. And Brother Andy brought a message concerning how the New Testament is complete, or the Old Testament is complete in the New Testament, I guess is the way you put that. How that you need both of them. There's folks today that say we don't need the Old Testament, because after all, we're not under the law. We sang that song, didn't we? Free from the law. I'm afraid a lot of people have no idea what that means. Some folks think that means you can do anything you want to do. That's not what that means. We are free from the law. We're also free from the curse of sin and all of that. No condemnation. However, we're still under the burden of sin. So there's a difference. But in listening to the message that Brother Andy brought and looking at this passage, I thought how fitting a message it was. Because the Old Testament gives us many details that the New Testament does not. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old. And to correctly understand the Old, you need the New. To correctly understand the New, you need the Old. That's just the way it is. And putting those things together is really, really good. Tonight, we want to look here in verse 14 and explaining what this means. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. All right. In verse 14, he says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, as we begin, Lord, tonight, I know I'm totally inadequate to bring any kind of word or to present any kind of holiness to this people. But Lord, I know that You're very able to put in their hearts and in their minds how that they ought to live before You and how that these Scriptures ought to be rightly applied and how that they are applicable to us today. And Lord, I pray that as we study this, that we might see, Lord, Your greatness, Your strength, Your power, and Lord, how that we're so minute. And Lord, how that You work with us, even though we're nothing, to bring to pass Your eternal Word. Bless now, Father, tonight. Help us to be true to You and help us to be close to You, Lord, for that's what our life should be about. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We've noticed some things before about this passage. Notice some things again, that there's two things that happen simultaneously here. That is that God in the earth is going to aid Israel from escaping from Satan, while Satan is doing all he can to use the elements of the world to stop God's people from escaping. But the Bible talks here about that there's going to be a supernatural event that takes place. I don't know what it is at all. But there's going to be a way that God is going to cause the nation of Israel to escape into a special place that is prepared for them. And they're going to be there fed, nourished, as the Bible states. In verse 6 it says fed. In verse 14 it talks about nourishment. It's exactly the same word. But that word means that actually the word means more than just physical food. The word there, it indicates strongly that there is a building upon a base. That there's a building upon a coil, if you would. And I picture that coil as spiral and how that one point builds upon another. And I can just see the nation of Israel during that time as they're locked away, hid, as it were, because they will not see the face of Satan. That's what it says here in this place. They will not see His face. In verse 14, from the face of the serpent, that is, the old devil. So they might be able to see His hind parts, but not His face. What does that mean? It means that Satan won't be able, he might look right at him, but he can't see him. That's what that means. And during that time, when they're hid away, they'll not only be fed nourishment by God. I don't know how, that's His business. But also, it's my personal belief that they're going to be learning, fed spiritually by the Word of God, one precept upon a precept, line upon line, until they begin to see the whole truth. That back over there in the Old Testament, as they're away and in safekeeping, and with a trembling heart, calling out unto the Lord, that God will deliver them and show them the truth about who Jesus is. And He's going to use the Word to do that. That's my personal opinion about that. But anyway, Israel, in verse 14, at this point you'll understand also that the persecution here is by Satan. All right, now, and understand, and I know you do, that the whole tribulation period is dealing with the nation of Israel. The whole tribulation period. There's other people involved, and there's other little fingers of God's hand goes out to all different areas and all different kinds of people. We understand that. The nation of Israel is God dealing with the nation of Israel to bring them back to Himself. This persecution is from Satan, not God. We've explained that, I think, before. I think you understand that. There's a time when God would chasten Israel, but this is not it. This is when Satan persecutes Israel and God protects Israel from the face of the serpent. And so we know that that's so. God hears the fervent prayers of His nation, even though Israel might not even know who they're praying to. I mean, they pray. They pray to the Holy God. They pray to the Creator God. They pray to the God of the nation of Israel. And they don't understand that Jesus is that God. But that's okay. God, they go through a lot of stuff. But God hears their prayer and they are able. Now, last time that I was here, I think it was the last time, we turned back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 17 and we noticed this. And what we want to look at tonight is this. When the Bible here talks about in Revelation 12:14, and to the woman, that is to the nation of Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle. We want to look at this, the wings of this great eagle. All right? Now, we're going to look at it in two different ways. The first way is the way of judgment. And the second is the way of deliverance. Okay? So the way of judgment first, and then the way of deliverance. In Ezekiel chapter 17, we read this passage, we read this whole chapter the last time. I'm not going to go through and read all of that again. But we understand here in verse 1, just kind of catch up a little bit of the background here. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle. All right, here's a riddle. And speak a parable unto the house of Israel. So it's a riddle or a parable that has an end, has a purpose in mind. So he says, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came into Lebanon, took the highest branch. We talked about that before, understanding that this first eagle is talked about, verse 1 through 6. And it is revealed to us that this eagle is Babylon, the nation Babylon. And then, beginning in verse 7, there's another great eagle. And we understood, as we went through that, that that second great eagle is the nation of Egypt. All right? And so, yeah, you remember the story of the nation of Israel and how that when they heard that the Babylonians were coming, and of course the Babylonians, they encamped outside the gate of Jerusalem for something like 2 years. So it's very obvious they were there. But the Israelites, they themselves decided they were going to escape to Egypt. Well, Egypt fell as well. I mean, God said, if you go down there, I'm going to let the Egyptians be captured too. But I want you to go into captivity. I'm going to chasten you, and I want you to be chastened. And you're going to be. That ever happened to you as a boy, as a girl, as a child? When your mom and dad is going to spank you, and you said, well, if I can get out of that if I do something else. Well, what I found is that you might as well just get on up there and get it over with, because I'd as soon have one spanking as two. That's me. And that's what the Israelites didn't really learn. We need to learn what this is about. Okay, so when God chastens you, submit to it, admit your error, and trust the Lord and don't fight Him, because He'll just keep on until you finally come to Him. And you'll either be broken up or whatever. In this chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, here is the interpretation of the parable. And we won't read all of this as we've already read it and talked about that before. This is Babylon. Okay, this is in the judgment of God. And while you're thinking about the judgment of God in the great eagle, and that's what it talks about with great wings, look back in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, at a parallel passage. Daniel 7. This is a parallel passage. Now, this passage, beginning in verse 1, and you know the story. You remember this as you read this. Daniel had this dream and visions upon his head. And in verse 3, said, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. In verse 4, the Bible says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now, how do you figure? How do you figure that? Well, these are symbolic. The Bible says it was like, didn't say it was a lion, said it was like a lion, had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. You know, and if you study that, you'll understand that that is Babylon. But it's in judgment. Now, the scriptures in Ezekiel, the passage in Ezekiel chapter 17, is talking about the present. If you transfer yourself back into the time frame when Ezekiel was written, and you can read there verse or in chapter 17, and you can understand that he's talking about the nation Babylon that is going to come and capture the nation of Israel. We can understand that. But in Daniel chapter 7, it uses a lot of the same phrases. But that's over. If you transfer yourself to the time of Daniel, Daniel received the vision along about the end of the Babylonian captivity. Because the Bible states here in chapter 7 in verse 1, the first year of Belshazzar. I mean, it's almost over. So it's in chapter 7 verse 4. He's not talking about that present kingdom that Daniel is living in. What's he talking about? He's talking about a Babylon that is yet to come. See, and that's going to come in judgment. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, you understand that all of these are talking about a progression of the satanic kingdom, all the different kingdoms that Satan is working in, and over time is going to bring about his kingdom. And he talks about how this is going to work through the Babylonians. And then in verse 5, it's the Medes and the Persians. Then in verse 6, it's the Grecians. In verse 7, it's the Roman Empire. And then we talk about the revived Roman Empire that's going to come about. And the similarity in these kingdoms is this. They all reject God. They follow false gods. And all of those gods, they may have different names. But essentially, they're the same piece of nothing that they worship. That's what it comes down to. All right? And so, when you think about these, when you go back and you look at these, the two wings, Revelation 12, verse 14, when you think about these, the two wings that's going to come, it comes so powerfully that it cannot be stopped. That's the emphasis here. And let's go back and read Revelation 12, 14 again. And you get this parallel. And remember back Andy's message he brought last Wednesday night about how that the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New is fulfilled in the Old. I mean, it takes both to make it, to get the picture. He says in verse 14, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." Now, that's not talking about the Babylonian kingdom, I don't think. But it's going to be an extraordinary power that cannot be stopped. Just like when the Babylonians came in to take Jerusalem, that was going to happen. You know why? Why was it going to happen? You know why, don't you? It's because God said, "You're going to be chastened." And they were going to be chastened. And when the Israelites said, "No, we're going to go down to Egypt," instead God said, "I think I'll go to Egypt and I'll just cause them to fall down there." If they decided it's going to go somewhere else, God would have sent the Babylonians somewhere else. Why? Because there's a force that cannot be stopped. Alright? Now, another thing. Now, that's part of it. That's part of the judgment. But we'll look at some more of this judgment of God through these wings. I mean, there's things that happen that cannot be stopped. Alright? It's going to take place. Look back in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 48. Now, look in verse 1. Jeremiah 48 and verse 1. Okay. Now, the Bible says here, "Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoil. Carithaim is confounded and taken. Mizgah is confounded and dismayed." You say, well, what's that got to do with our topic? Let me read to you what it says in verse 40. And you can this whole chapter here is about the Moabites. Now, you say, well, the Moabites are not Israel. I know what I want to show you here. It's simply that God's hand is on things and God is going to work it out His way. In verse 40, it said, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and spread his wings over Moab." And I could read this whole chapter to you. It'd take a while. But what I want you to understand about it is that when God says to Moab, "You are done because you were against my people Israel," you can mark it down. They're done. All right? You can mark it down because the Bible said there's this invincible force, and it's not Star Wars force thing in that little light bulb with a long, I mean, flashlight with that long stem. That's not what he's talking about. But it's God that's bringing it to pass. You can't stop it, whatever you want to do. Now, in chapter 49, he says here in verse 1, concerning the Ammonites, Thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no son? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and people dwell in the cities? And this chapter, a lot of this chapter, is about the destruction that God's going to bring upon the Ammonites. Why? Because they hated the nation of Israel. They were against her. And God said, I'm going to take care of them. Now, the verse is in verse 22, where it says here, talking about the Lord again, and you can read this context and see what he's saying. He says, behold, he shall come up and fly as an eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah, which is a capital city in the of Ammon. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. It's going to be done. Because God said that it's going to be done. I want to point out one other thing before we leave this thing about the judgments of God. You see that what it is, is that God has a plan. And He's working that thing out. And it's going to be exactly the way that God said. In chapter 48 and verse 47. Jeremiah 48, verse 47. Look what it says here. Yet will I bring the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. What? Now, and you just read what that says. Look in chapter 49 in verse 6. It says, and afterward, I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. I don't think that's by any accident. I mean, he says, he didn't say here in verse 6 about the latter end. It strongly indicates to me that that's the way that it's going to be. In verse 39 of chapter 49, it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Here's the thing. See, when we're looking here in Revelation 12 and verse 14 about God delivering the nation of Israel with these wings of a great eagle, it is absolutely certain that it's going to take place. God is going to cause it to happen. Just as He causes these nations to fall, and then He will cause the nation to be raised back up in the latter days. If He wants to do it, He can do it. So just stand back and just get out of the way. Well, but that's about the judgments of God, how it's going to come about. I mean, God has a plan. And boy, it's going to work. It's going to work it all out. It's an absolute wonder to me that God deals with us the way He does. And the way that He deals with the nation of Israel. The way He deals with us as individuals. I was impressed. Well, actually, I was impressed because I was fiddling around on the computer, on the internet, with Google Earth. You ever heard of it? Some of you heard of it? Yeah. It's very interesting because they've got all kinds, you can do all kinds of sightseeing on the thing and all that. But what impressed me about it is this. When that thing opens up, when that opens up, you've got the whole world in front of you. It's a globe. It's a globe. And in the sightseeing thing, you can tell it where to go and it'll come out. And then it'll spin that world around some way. And then it'll zero in on where you're going. Boy, I'm thinking, boy, isn't that something? Those places are over there. I mean, they're there. And you can see cars and people and all that kind of stuff when those pictures were taken. Well, what I did, I kind of zoomed in manually. And I zoomed in on 6329 Cedar Hill Lane. That's what I did. Found my house right there. I got down as close as I could get. And then I started zooming out. Click, 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 click. Out, 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 out. When he got way out there to that globe, I thought, hey, who am I? They don't even know I'm in this world. But then I just reversed that, started clicking in. And there I was, right back at my house. I'd done that again. I just went out to that globe, and then I went back in to my house. You know what I thought? God is so great, Mike, because He sees us right down where we live, and there's all kinds of places He can look at in this world. I mean, He sees it all. What kind of God do we have? Well, I mean, He is a marvelous, wonderful God. And then when we were singing these songs tonight, I couldn't help but think about how unworthy we are to be saved. And how filthy we must appear before a holy God that has no sin whatsoever and cannot stand to look upon sin, and yet He loves us in spite of what we are and doesn't throw us away. But He brings us to Himself. But I was thinking of the nation of Israel in Revelation 12 and verse 14 when I was reading that. I thought, you know, the nation of Israel, what did they do to deserve a God that could give them invincible deliverance? What did the nation of Israel do? Now, God has got a plan. He's working it out. But what did the nation of Israel do to cause God to look upon them with love and favor and to deliver them from the face of the serpent who was out to kill them? Well, Israel did the same thing we did. Nothing. He loved them because He loved them. And that's what the Bible says. He didn't choose them because they were greater or mightier than any other nation, but He chose them. Why? He said, because I love you. I have nothing to brag about except my Jesus who is on my side. And I don't know why He's here except He just wanted to be here. And that's it. But you see, it's deliverance. The Bible here, when it talks about being delivered, it uses these phrases. And to the woman were given two wings. I'm glad there's two and not one, because we don't want to fly lopsided. God takes care of that. Two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Going to be invincible. Cannot stop her from going away, from into a place of safety. Talk about on the positive now. Look back in the book of Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, verse 4. Here the Israelites have only been out of the land of Egypt for 3 months. And Exodus 19, verse 4, here's what Moses is to tell the Israelites. Said, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Let me ask you. When the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, were they on eagle's wings or were they walking? Or is that a trick question? Well, they was walking on eagle's wings, huh? How would that be? I mean, God brought them out. It was invincible. And there was no nation involved. God just touched them. And when it came time, the nation of Egypt was destroyed and the Israelites came out. I mean, that's exactly... Well, how did all that happen? Well, let me read you another scripture about the way that it happens. And I think we can understand this book of Proverbs 23 and verse 5. When I read this one, I thought, boy, this really does fit. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. So how does this happen? And this is the way it happens. See, we just don't know. There's a force behind it that we just don't know. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. He says, "Wilt thou," Proverbs 23, verse 5, "wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Say, amen. That's what happens, isn't it? The only way that you can tell where your money goes is by a detailed analysis that takes some time. In other words, it takes intense book work. You know what happens to the cash? You know what happens to your cash? I don't either. It's just gone. I don't either. That's what happens to cash. It's gone. Everybody needs a little bit of blowing money, but that's what happens to cash. In other words, the only way you can find out where your money goes is to keep a real good record. That's the only way you can know. So how can you know how the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt? By going back to the record. And you can find out how they were able to come out. I mean, that's what it's telling us. Look in the book of Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 32. See, God was the one that touched the nation of Israel and brought them out. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. It says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." That's talking about how that the nation of Israel is kept. It's God that does it. It is God Almighty that moves in this world. "So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange gods with him." This is how it's done. It's simply by the power of God. One more in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Talking about the deliverance of God. Well, the practical applications here is this, that God can deliver you when there is no way possible for it to happen. And you try to work the angles, you just keep on working them, it's not going to work. But God can make it work. And you would say, it's impossible. That's when God can do it. So just get out of the way. Here's what he says in verse 28, Isaiah 40, 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength." Well, how does He do that? He just does it. I'm thinking of Elijah, that God said, "Eat." So he ate. He says, "Eat again." And he ate again. He said, "Okay, go 40 days on this." How could he get that much in his belly? But God took care of making it work. Same miracle as God feeding 5,000 with fish and bread at a little boy's lunch. Same principle that's involved. So how can God deliver? How can God take care of us? You see, we don't have to see it. We've got to believe God's going to do it. He can do it. Matter of fact, most of the time when I try to see it, I can't get it. It's just wrong. He says in verse 30, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Boy, when I read that, I thought of the nation of Israel. You know what? How long have they been persecuted on this earth? 4,000 years? I mean, they've been back in the land of Israel now for 40-something, 50-something years. They've had a lot of peace, hadn't they? Not in the last 50. I mean, they've been persecuted on every hand, bombs dropped and everything else. They've got to have defenses, and they got every nation in the world except the U.S. is against them. I mean, don't you think they'd be a little bit tired? Do you ever get to a place you just want to give up and say, I'm quitting? I don't want to fight this fight anymore. My Uncle Joe was about 90-something years old. He'd had cancer for many, many years. And he told his wife once, toward the end of his life, he said, I'm tired. I'm not fighting it anymore. I'm just ready to go home. I'm done. It wasn't long after that he died. And he went home and was out of his troubles. See, but there comes a time like that. But here, the nation of Israel on every hand, they've been fought. They've been done everything in the world, and it looks like they're coming right down to the very end, and they're being oppressed on every hand, and yet it's here that God gives them strength. And I can see these folks as they begin to flee. And when they begin to flee, well, they're going fast. I mean, they're going fast because God has given them strength. He's given them courage for that particular task so they can go to that particular place to be hid from the face of Satan and be fed and nourished there of the Lord. That's a good promise to me that God would say to us, when you get tired, I'll pick it up and I'll take you on home. I'll take care of you. But you know what God does? He lets us struggle, don't He? He lets us struggle and He'll watch us. The nation of Israel, they didn't want to believe God. They didn't want to rest in God. They didn't want to serve God. They wanted to do it their way. Sound familiar? And God let them. Sound familiar? Until finally, they had it with their way. And then they turned to the Lord, and God just opens it all up. But that's what it takes. And that's just the way Israel is. That's the way we are. But there's coming a time when Israel will have no strength. But God uses these terms in Revelation 12 and verse 14. I just love this term. He gives them two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. I think that, and that word fly is fly, like a bird flies in the air. It flies with ease, with comfort. It flies with peace. It flies with swiftness. And it's where the Lord wants you to be. Boy, it's wonderful. I like it when it ends that way. But it's not ended. Because at this point, Israel is just fleeing into the wilderness, into the place where God has prepared for her. We're going to stop right there. Next time, Lord willing, we'll take up with this place and see what the Bible has to say about that and the nourishment that she's going to receive for a time and times, half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. Thankful that God will protect His people from the devil. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you know God wants of us, He wants us to come to Him and trust Him. He wants that for saved people, He wants that for lost people. The lost person that will not admit their sins and trust the Lord, God will let them go on. That's what they want. Same thing happens to us that are saved. But tonight, if you're here and you're lost, if you're lost, and you know it, you know you're without the Lord, you know that this tug that's within you, and you can try to escape that. You can put it out of your mind. You can do something to take your mind away from where God wants you to have it. And God will let you do that. But I pray that God will continue to burden you and choke you down, just weight you down with your sins, that you might come to the final place and you say, I don't want to carry them anymore. I'm tired of this. And I pray God will burden you like that. That's the way He did me. I pray He'll touch you with that in that same way, that you might trust the Lord, give your sins to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast all your care upon Him. He cares for you. That's our prayer for you. We want to stand, if you would, Brother John, if you would please come and lead us in this song. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing and pray that God will bless His Word tonight. It might not return void, but it might accomplish that which He desires.